Father, we worship and honor you. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves as we come to speak this word. We come to proclaim to generations your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, being fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the manifold wisdom compressed in this written word. So we come to ask for supernatural enablement and assistance, fresh unction from heaven, enabling me to speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. And I ask the same unction and anointing be put on the ears and the hearts of everyone who will listen to me. Those who are here physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, that this word will have free course from you, my Father, through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with the revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it, my Father, with precision. Indeed, I will redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving the blessing individually said, this afternoon I have a very important message. It's a fundamental message, it's a foundational message, but it's a message that requires fresh review and revelation in this time that we're living in. And I've entitled it, Releasing and Applying the Blood of Jesus. Releasing and applying the blood of Jesus. In recent times, we have been speaking about unity in the Spirit, united praying in the Spirit, and the vital strategic importance of that in the release of the Spirit without measure in the church. Christians have been praying in tongues for 2,000 years. Well, not exactly, but, you know, the first century, after the day of Pentecost, speaking in tongues became common. It went down during the Dark Ages for many, many years, hundreds of years, in fact. Very few, if any, people spoke in tongues. My understanding of God, I don't know everything about God, but I'm growing and I'm getting clarification. It is clear to me that at every point in time in history, God always had a remnant. It's just that they were probably hidden, and people didn't know about it. But don't ever think God is shortchanged. He always hands something from one generation to the other. Whether the people know themselves physically or not is not too important. What is important is that the spiritual mantle is passed from one generation to the other. However, that as it may be, the Reformation of the Church came in 1517 under Martin Luther in Germany. Later on, it spread in England. And the Wesley brothers picked up the mantle in the 1700s with what we call the Methodist Church. And evangelical and Protestant Christianity took a firm hold, firstly in England, and then later on in the Scandinavian peninsula and all over Europe to some degree in different places. And then later on, as that move waned, see, down through the years, the moves of God always wane because people get caught up in the natural. Kenneth Hagin prophesied about this, by the Holy Ghost, and said, you know, the cares of this world entered in and choked the word, and it wanes. And then in about 1900, 1901 to be precise, January 1 in Topeka, Kansas, in a Bible school, small, just, you know, God is very, and I look back at history, I all shake my head, you know, and I thank God for His mercies upon our lives. Maybe there were 15 of them, 20 of them, small, obscure Bible school, somewhere in Topeka, Kansas. And the first people began to speak in tongues again. They didn't understand it fully. There's a lot of errors, a lot of mistakes, but they picked it and it began to grow. It was somebody from that school that met a black man called Charles Parham and taught him about it. He didn't have the experience, but he had the knowledge. And he took it to Los Angeles, in a place called Azusa Street. And within a few weeks, the fire started. And people began to speak in tongues. And from there, it spread. Firstly in America, then in Wales, and in England, and even Germany. That's another story for another day. But the important point I want to make is this. The moves of God wane because of sin and a lack of understanding of righteousness. People speak in prayer and then after a while it drops, then they don't pray so much anymore. And then the move of God just kind of fizzles out. Doesn't fizzle out completely. Never fizzles out completely. But it, you know. So we are speaking today about united praying in the Spirit as being a forerunner of the release of the Spirit without measure. People have been speaking in tongues for years. That's why I give that brief overview of Christian history. But why has it not produced the Spirit without measure? For the very reason, the fact that speaking in tongues becomes more effective, and I choose my words deliberately. I'm not saying it's not effective at all, it is to some degree. But it becomes far more effective when a group of Christians are praying with an attitude of love. And I want to emphasize the word attitude, and you'll see that more in the message as I go along. Mercy and forgiveness. Paul went as far as to say that even if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he says, if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. And that is why the understanding of mercy, forgiveness, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, the mercy of God, these things are critical now as we are praying in the Spirit for the release of the Spirit without measure. It is the constant application, and that's why I've called it release and application of the blood. And in a few minutes you'll see the difference. It is the application of the blood of Jesus deliberately, strategically, in faith, in mercy, that will remove the hindrances and the blocks inside the body so that the life and the power of God, the flow of the life and the power of God will be optimized to produce this effect of the release of the Spirit without measure. We've been praying in Spirit, but it's never been able to increase to that degree of the release of the Spirit without measure. There are other factors involved, which I'll probably be talking about next week, which involved with divine sovereignty and timing. Because in every move of God, there is a time and there is a season. Ecclesiastes tells us that in everything that God does, there is a time to every purpose. There is a time and there is a season. So there is that. But right on the other hand, even when the time and the season is approaching, the people are not ready. And they're not taught and they do not practice what God tells them to do. That time and season can be delayed. And we've seen that in history. Honey, isn't it an amazing thing that the Reformation took 1,000 years to come? We call it Dark Ages. It could have been 200 years. It didn't have to be 1,000 years. There was no prophetic type and shadow that had to be fulfilled to make it 1,000 years. It didn't have to be 1,000 years. It could have been 50. 1,000 years. Lord have mercy. Ichabod. The glory. Can you imagine the first from Jesus died AD 33. Day of Pentecost was the same year, 50 days later. The Holy Ghost came. 10, 15 years later, the Apostle Paul got born again. Revelation knowledge, great things, Ephesus, the might God of God grew mightily and prevailed all over, you know, Asia, what we call Asia Minor, Ephesus, Thyatira, Laodicea, Colossae, all these churches, you know, Thessalonica, you know, the whole place, the whole empire. The Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit of God began to sweep the Roman Empire of that time to the point where men said, these men that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. But 150 years later, what happened? What I'm teaching you now about mercy, about love, about forgiveness, about the cleansing of the blood of Jesus is the way to maintain and to increase what the move of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing inside the church. The release and the application of the blood of Jesus. I want us to look at some very familiar scripture, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, I will shed fresh light. I won't say new light. I will shed, the Holy Spirit helping me, will shed fresh light on scripture we already know. Let me just give a kind of a preamble, and it is this. The essence of the blood of Jesus, the reason why Jesus had to shed his blood, understand this, was to give God a legal basis to forgive us. There was nothing we could do to deserve it. That is why it is grace. Grace means unmerited favor. But this suffering, if he didn't suffer and he didn't die, as shown by his shed blood, then that forgiveness will not have a legal basis. And the counter argument to that, for those of us who have a legal kind of, you know, legal training, legal mind, would be this. If he forgives us without a legal punishment to pay for it, then you have to forgive Satan too. For it to be consistent. Therefore, the forgiveness, though it is free, somebody had to pay a price for it by dying, and then it can only be received by those who receive the Savior. That way God locks out rebels, and only those who come on God's terms can receive the forgiveness. Is it clear? Consequently, the blood of Jesus is a spiritual agent. It is a spiritual cleansing agent that does three main things. We're going to read scripture in a minute to shed fresh light. Number one is forgiveness. What is forgiveness? It is a release from punishment. When God says, I've forgiven you, it means I will no longer punish you for the sin that you committed. So, the blood of Jesus guarantees us forgiveness from the punishment of sin, which should be hellfire. It's interesting to understand this, that in the Old Testament, the forgiveness was there, but there was no remission of sin because Jesus' blood had not yet been shed. So God put in an interim measure by using the blood of animals as a temporary covering. So the animals were the ones who suffered. The animals were the ones who died because Jesus hasn't yet come. So he now took the blood of the animals, and you see Moses sprinkling the blood of the animals on the tabernacle and all of that. That's where some of my brethren completely misunderstand and are misapplying the blood of Jesus. You do not apply the blood of Jesus on physical instruments. You apply it on today in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, God allowed them to do that to signify that without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. So in the Old Testament, they did have forgiveness, but the forgiveness was limited in the sense that it was a temporary, interim measure. So when they died in the Old Testament, they did not go to hell because of the blood of those animals that were used as a moratorium, if you like, you know, until Jesus as a pledge. It was like there's this thing in finance where you put a promissory note. It was like a promissory note. Okay, I haven't paid the pay, but I promise I'm going to pay. So they held those promissory notes. You know, so when they died in the Old Testament, they were forgiven. They didn't go to hell. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. When Jesus came, he cashed in all the notes. Give the Lord a clap offering. He took the and paid for it. So it was no longer a promissory note. It was now a reality. So today when you die, you go straight to heaven. You don't go to Abraham's bosom anymore. Is it clear? So the first thing the blood does is it gives us our forgiveness from the punishment of hell. It's very important. The second thing, and this is the one that most Christians don't fully grasp and understand, and hence these messages, recent messages on forgiveness and love and mercy and the blood. The second thing, this is very important, is that the blood of Jesus Christ not only frees you from the punishment of hell, it frees you from the guilt of sin. If there is one thing that hinders faith, it is guilt. A consciousness of sin. A sense of condemnation. You've been forgiven. But you yourself have not forgiven yourself. So the blood gives us freedom from punishment of hell. Use that word hell because, you know, God still chastens us. Do you understand? There's still a chastening. If you sin, you won't go to hell, but you'll be chastened. Because God loves you. He says, which son, which father is there that does not chasten his children? And of course, the classical example is David in the Old Testament. But it was the lesson is the same. You know, David did terrible things, adultery and murder. And God sent a prophet to him. Now, David had repented. You know, it was in the Old Testament. So there was, it was, you know, it's a little bit different from now. You know, and the first thing God told him, said, you won't die. So the punishment of, that's like going to hell today, you know, of physical, immediate physical death was not going to happen to him. He said, nevertheless, because you've caused the Lord's enemies to blaspheme, I'm going to whack you. And he did. Now, David learned his lesson and he overcame that later. But the important point is this. The blood frees us from punishment of hellfire. Then it also frees us from a guilty conscience. Now that's that one most Christians don't understand as well as they should. Because when you remember what you did, watch this. When you remember any sin that you may have committed, what is more dominant in your mind? What you did or the efficacy of the blood of Jesus? You know, for most of us, what we did carries more weight than what Jesus' blood did. And so it keeps us in a state of condemnation. Because, as we're going to be seeing in a few minutes, we do not know how to apply the blood. So the work that the blood should do, which is to not only cleanse the sin, but also to purge our conscience, or to remove from our consciousness the feeling of guilt and the feeling of condemnation. Because we don't understand it and we don't apply it by faith, you know, we many times we don't grasp that. Then the third thing is just a direct follow-up of the second one. When the blood of Jesus Christ is operating properly as it should, you know what you're going to have? Confidence. To approach the presence of God. And confidence that when you talk, God will hear. And He will do what you said. Three things. Freedom from punishment. Freedom from guilt. And freedom in the presence of God. I'll say it again. Freedom from punishment, freedom from guilt, and freedom in the presence of God. Hence, the great apostle, thank God for Paul, said, let us therefore come boldly. What makes me come boldly? Not my work, so. The blood. The blood. That's the real purpose of the blood. All this extracurricular use of the blood really is not scriptural. God winks at it because He knows where they are going, even though they are doing it in the wrong way. So His mercy. You know what's making people say, the blood! Guilt. It's a guilt consciousness that is crying out for cleansing. And instead of applying it on himself, he's applying it on the expressway. Or on the car. You know why? He's taking an Old Testament typology. The Bible says things they do not understand. And they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. He's taking an Old Testament typology and he's applying the letter of it and not the spirit of it. In the Old Testament, on the day of Passover, Moses gave them a commandment to take the blood of the animals and put it on the lintel of their houses so that when the angel of death came into Egypt, he would not enter. It was just a mark to show the angel that is an Israelite here, not an Egyptian. But it was not. The blood they put on those lintels would not stop those angels. The angels had just been instructed by heaven that any house you see the blood, don't enter. So they all say, okay, fine, let's move to the next one. Now you can't just bring that vroom in the New Testament, then bring it in the New Testament, and then put it, you know, on your Bible, put it on your house, put it on your car, put it on your and to put on your CV that you are taking for interview in the office.
and then add anointing oil on top. Call on Shanuel. Lack of knowledge is a terrible thing. You know what it graduates into if you're not careful? Witchcraft. Now begin to do things God never told us to do. You know, and of course Satan will just accommodate us. So we've got to be careful. So the blood, this is what it is meant for. Now, I got to move quickly. Am I helping anybody here? Now let's look at the scriptures. I've given you those three things: freedom from punishment, freedom from guilt, and freedom in the presence of God. Liberty, you know, confidence. These are different synonyms, but describing the same spiritual experience. Now, what happens? Let's look at 1 John. This is scripture we're all very familiar with, or should be, if we're not. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at three scriptures to start with, and then we'll look at another few before we close. 1 John chapter 1. And we're looking at verses 7 to 10. I'm going to, in the light of what I've said, have fresh light on this. 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to understand something just before we read the scripture. John is not writing to sinners. The first person I heard say that, I think, was Papa Hagen or Brother Copeland. This thing was not written. It's not written to sinners. You know, we will take this and make an evangelical message out of it. It's not evangelical. It's for the saints. Isn't a Christian? Now, of course, there's an application to the unbeliever, generally speaking, that the blood of Jesus will cleanse, you know, people from. But he's not talking. He's not. He said, if we. We. Who is we? We. We. The Christian, including John. Amen. Understand that. Understand it. It was not written to the unborn again, unregenerate man. It was written to the born again, spirit-filled Christian. Now, without understanding, let us read. If we. Don't you never say we who? We Christians. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, what? Cleanseth us from some sins. You're going to see this thing. There's a beauty here that I'm going to share with you when it comes to release and application. Notice this is general now. It's a blanket thing. All sin. Now, we know that we commit specific sins. How do we deal with that? We're going to see that in a minute. All sin. In other words, the blood is available for everything. Now, he's going to now tell us how to activate it. It's not automatic. It has to be activated by faith. That's why I'm not going to go there, but I'll just quickly quote the scripture. It's from Romans chapter 3. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, through faith in his blood, that God may be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus, to the propitiation. We have faith. I have faith in the name of Jesus, but I also have faith in the blood of Jesus. Next verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let me paraphrase that. If you're dishonest, the blood won't act. That's a paraphrase, but it captures the spirit of what he's saying. If we say we have no sin, he said we deceive ourselves and the truth is the word, the life, you know, it will not be functional because the sin will be there and it will block it. Even if you shout the blood without understanding. Honesty. I've come to see that this whole Christianity thing revolves on the heart. What we taught many years ago, we have come back to it.
And I will keep saying it until Jesus comes. The very foundation, the very base of Christianity is honesty and humility of heart. You're not going anywhere. You just deceive yourself, run around in a circle. That's why most Christians aren't making progress. They're not honest. If we say we're deceiving ourselves, is that the truth not going to functional in us? That's what it means. Well, of course, we have the truth in us. We have Jesus in us. What it means is that it's not functional. It's not active. It's dormant. It's being neutralized, and it's unproductive. It's not producing what it should produce. Next verse. Now, this is the release. If, notice, everything is conditional, conditional, conditional. It's not automatical. If, I didn't hear you. We. Don't your neighbor say we who? We Christians. Good. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Observe two things. Forgiveness and cleansing, they are not the same. What I talked about earlier. Do you notice? He did not say, I forgive. He said, to forgive and to cleanse. The forgiveness deals with the punishment from hell. The cleansing deals with the guilt and the flow of life. It's not the same thing. They had the first one in the Old Testament. They didn't have the second. We have both. Better Testament established on better promises. Old Testament, they had forgiveness. They went to Abraham's bosom, but they did not have any internal cleansing. That is why they could not be here. They were not children of God. They were servants of God. Another message for another day. To cleanse us. Hey, talk to neighbor. Say, you're not an adopted child, though. That they just picked on the road somewhere. You are born of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. You are not all. You are literally a child of God. You have God's DNA. I'll blow your mind in another minute. You are as much a son of God as Jesus was. We don't understand Christianity. You are as much, I will repeat it with boldness, you are as much a son of God as Jesus was. Now give the Lord a proper clap offering. But Pastor, you're a son of God. He was born of a virgin. How did he get born of a virgin? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Well, how did you get born again? The Holy Ghost came upon you. And the power of the Most High overshadowed you. So that holy thing that was born in you shall be called the Son of God. You are not any less a son of God than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. You are a son of God. A real child of God. Hola, joye wao. Oh no, I joy yewa. We got koti yewa. In our language, that means may God help us to understand it. Because we have not yet understood it as we ought. A child of God. Born of God. With God's DNA. every potential joint heirs of salvation. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. That's why, if we understand it, this statement will no longer be a perplexity. The works that I do, you will do and greater. It's a natural follow-up. If you really understand it. He says he will bring many sons to glory. Do you notice that when Jesus was born in Nazareth, in Bethlehem and in Nazareth, there were no miracles? That's why there are no miracles in your own life now. You're following the same road. The first 30 years, no miracles. No consistent, spectacular miracles. You know why? They were the silent years of growth. That's what you're going through now. But you don't have to make it 60 years. Or 100. So that you never go out of that stage and die in that stage. That's what happens to most Christians. They stay in the Bethlehem and Nazareth stage all their lives. They never get to Capernaum. Another message for another day. Nineveh, yes, it's growth. That's why we haven't seen. We don't see the miracles in the ministry of Jesus today to any appreciable degree. He can't trust us with it. However, so the blood, that's what it does. Now notice, he says, if we let's get back to 1 John. I ain't through yet. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, I believe we were. Go back to verse 9 before we go into verse 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me paraphrase that and say, for everything, from everything that is blocking the life of God. Because what is unrighteousness? It just means a lack of right standing. So when you apply the blood, when the blood is released, it goes into operation, and like a cleansing agent, it cleanses the sin substance that is blocking the flow of the life of God between you and God. And it does not just cleanse it halfway, it cleanses it completely. That's why it's a cleanse from all unrighteousness. Then he repeats the thought of verse 7 of dishonesty. Let's go to verse 10. If we say, turn to your neighbor, say, careful what you say. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't be dishonest. If you dare say with your mouth that we have not sinned, he said, we make him a liar. And his word, the other part he said is truth. The word is truth. It's the same thing. He's repeating the same thing in a different. Yes. He said the word will not be active in you. Don't be dishonest. Watch this. Don't be dishonest at the heart level. Don't be dishonest at the word level. Don't be dishonest in your thoughts and don't be dishonest in your words. God requires, for the blood of Jesus to, it's there, but for it to be released and for it to function in your heart, the honesty of heart is a prerequisite. How do we release it? I'm going to say it. We must confess our sins. If conditional. If we confess, say it out, our sins, then that's our own part. We confess. Then something happens in the spirit realm. That's God's part. He, not us, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, one, then two, to cleanse us. But we know what does the cleansing? The blood. So it is the confession of sin that releases the blood. It is the confession of sin that releases the blood.
You see, the blood was shed 2,000 years ago. Technically, strategically, and as far as plan is concerned, it was actually done before the foundation of the world. But it didn't physically happen. It was in the mind of God. It had been planned before man was ever created. God, turn to your neighbor and say, God is not a careless God. He already knew we could sin. And the provision for the possibility of our sin had already been planned before we sinned. Give the Lord a clap offering. We're dealing with a smart God. God is smart. And he's the original lawyer. He already had thought the whole thing through. I tell you something the Lord told me many years ago. He said, when I thought it through, if it wouldn't work, I would not have made anything. He said, I thought it through. Then I said, it's worth it. Let's go. He said, I know not all of them will accept, but a good number of them will be. And that's enough for me. He said, but I'll do my best to show all of them the right thing. That's why we have evangelists. Ajin Riri. A proclaimer of good news. I will send evangelists. I will send. I will do everything I can to let them know the right thing to do. Say, even to their deathbed, I will be there. Like the thief on the cross. I will be there. So when they change their mind, I'll bring them in. God is a good God. He is not willing that any should perish. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because he has already made provision for the wicked not to die. Am I talking to anybody here? So, we release the blood by confessing our sins. Now, let's quickly go to the next scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. And I want you to give me this. Okay, let's quickly finish reading the King James. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Conscience. See, the blood not only cleanses the sin substance so that the life can flow, it goes beyond cleansing the sin substance and it goes to clean out the consciousness, the guilt that you feel when you sin. Now, this is the one that most Christians do not know or apply or appropriate by faith. So you see them going around with condemnation. Now, I am by no means justifying sin. No. But right on the other hand, one day, many years ago, you know, God has helped me. Hunger, he said, Jesus was telling me, he said, that's why I came. He said, I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. He said, many of the sins you commit, you know, is because of generations of sin nature that you have inherited. Isn't that when you do things and you feel bad about it? He said, I understand. It's good for you to feel remorse so that you will do better next time. But right on the other hand, I have come to clean you up. He said, when you sin, don't run from me, run to me. I've made your sin my business, and it's not the devil's business. It's stupid to run away from Jesus when you sin. Run to him. That's why he came. That's why he came. He said, I did not come for the righteous. He said, I came to save the sinners. Verse 14. Now, give us this to me the old King James says, purge your conscience. Usually the word purge is not very, you know, it doesn't resonate with us today, because those of us who know our Bible properly, we, you know, but most people, you know, modern people, they, you know, purge means to clean out. How many people have heard about, you know, warm medicine? Thank you, darling. When we're children, you know, I give you the of a porridge. You know, because you have all kinds of worms inside your intestinal system. So your mother, how many of you remember? They pack all of us on the bed and they pour that. Oh God. Then you'll be going to the toilet and worms and all kinds of things. Only one purge. You're cleaning out the system. That's what the blood does for your conscience. It purges it. It purges your conscience. Apart from forgiving your sin, apart from cleansing it, it will purge your conscience if you will appropriate that purging by faith. The problem is we don't appropriate. We only take, most Christians only even take only the forgiveness. They all want to go to heaven. Oh, well, that God, when I die, I will go to heaven, you know. And that's the limits to which they appropriate. Whereas there are two other things. Thank you. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He cleanses you from a guilty conscience so you can be free to serve God. Give me the New International Version. Am I helping anybody here? How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our what? Consciences. From Acts that little, is that the conscience, the guilty conscience? So that's this. Now there's one other fundamental scripture. This is the one that blew my mind. Remember about 15 years ago. I've already read it in the Bible, but it never hits me like it hit me then. And of course, I applied it since. It's a beautiful scripture. It's a carte blanche. In French, that means it's a blank check. Only God can do this kind of thing. John chapter 20, verse 23. Oh, God help me. God help me. John 20, and let's look at verses 22 and 23. There's a reason why I'm taking the two verses together. Because one, the first verse was the foundation for the second one. This was on what we call Easter Sunday. Jesus was fresh from the dead. Just been raised from the dead. Firstborn. John had gotten born again earlier in the day when he ran to the cave, followed by Mary Magdalene. Peter was still wandering. Thank God for Peter. But he would have been number one. He was wandering, and it was John who became number one. So Jesus was firstborn, second born was John, third born was Mary. Exactly. Anyway. So he appears to all of them, you know, they're all afraid and everything. So he comes through the door in his glorified body. Phew, like a radio wave. Or, you see, these walls cannot stop mobile phone signals, because they're moving at the speed of light. So when they are vibrating so fast. See that wall there, it looks solid to you, and it is solid to you at the macroscopic level. But at the atomic level, you've got a nucleus at the center, plenty of space in between, and electrons dancing around. So there's plenty of space to pass. So if you come to the wave level, and the wave is vibrating at the speed of light, it just sees a lot of road it can pass through. Comes through. You know how difficult for it? That's why EM waves can go through solid things. Amen? Because what you think is solid is not really solid. That's why I shouldn't believe only in what you see. Even science teaches us that. It's solid, but it's not solid. It has a lot of holes inside. And a very fast moving wave will just go through. But if you sit down with your body has so many particles. And when you put all of it together, it blocks all the holes. So it's solid. Are you listening to me? So Jesus comes through the door. They're shocked. Afraid. He said, chill. That's modern translation. Chill. It's me. I'm not an emiri. Jesus says, touch me, handle me, see. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like you see me have. They still, say, I know what they were. Unje. Give me fish. Give me a piece of honeycomb. He ate a hair. And now we know he's not a spirit. And he talks to them nicely, encourages everybody. Then he says, you know, the Bible says he breathed on them. They got born again. See, except for John and Mary, all those hadn't been born again until that time. So immediately he breathes on them, they get experience the new, but not baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're going to get that 50 days later. But they got the Holy Ghost. They got born again. So after they got born again, he now tells them this. And so what applies to them then applies to us now. Verse 23. Am I talking to anybody? He says, and whosoever sins. Hey. Everyone say whosoever. Turn to your neighbor. That's you. And that's me. And that's Sister X. And that's Brother Y. The most terrible brethren. The most terrible brethren in the church. Those ones you cannot stand. That's them. Ha! Honey. Ha! Whosoever sins, you, now that you are born again, you have that authority. Whosoever thinks, notice he even used the word forgive, he used the word remit. He used the New Testament expression to show that if you remit it, that blood will go into operation and cleanse them even without them knowing it. Whosoever sins, you remit, they are what? Remitted unto them. And if by unforgiveness, bitterness, or carelessness, or forgetfulness, you don't do it, it's retained. So the life of God can't flow to them. That block will remain there because you retained it. And you now join the accuser of the brethren to condemn them. Are you an accuser or are you a savior? Saviors from Mount Zion. What are you? Doth not the scripture say, if any of you be overtaken in a sin, you that are spiritual. That's the problem. Most of us are carnal. You that are spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Baba Holiness, lest you also be tempted. This is the practical application of the scriptures. So, when we pray, I'm going to read out a simple prayer now. It's in all our books, so you can always get it. I'm going to read it out. I pray this prayer every day. And I do not pray it mechanically. I pray it with this, all this thing I've been preaching in the last few minutes. I pray with this understanding and this faith inside my heart. So we say, this is how I release the blood daily. Just before I read this, I want you to understand something. In the Old Testament is a shadow of what we are experiencing today. Honey, watch this. They had multiple levels of sacrifices. There was the sacrifice of the Day of Atonement that covered for a whole year. Everything every other person did for that year was based on the covering of the Day of Atonement. Yes, and not anybody could do it. Only high priest. Then, they now had daily sacrifice. They had one in the morning and one in the evening.
Then on top of that, they now had individual sacrifice. You did something, you will now take your own goat, or you will take your own turtle dove, or whatever it is, you will now take it to the temple and you will offer. Now, all these layers of sacrifices, do you understand, symbolize to us today what we are practicing. When you get up in the morning, you now do extensive confession of sin. Then later on, instead of saying all of it, just say our sins. That's another level of under that other level. Then there is the other one. This is the one I'm teaching you now, which is the very, very, very important one. The application, you know, with your thoughts at the individual level. When you say, Father, I confess our sins, that's general. It's blanket. Then suddenly Sister X comes in front of you and does her show. Or Brother Y comes and does his show. And immediately, you first of all want to get angry. In fact, you even get angry. There's nothing wrong with that, so long as you don't sin. Then you now remember what I'm teaching you. So you've already released the blood when you confessed. So it's in the air. So you now direct it with your thoughts. To Brother X or to Sister Y. And then life goes in. All from the heart. Amen. The confession, the detailed confession in the morning, in the afternoon, the ones that you do with your mouth, release the power to make the one you do with your thought effective. So you release with your mouth, but you apply with your thoughts. It's a wonderful system that God has created. So in the morning, I say, I'm telling you what I'm doing. You know what I do? I say, Father, I confess our. And when I say our now, I'm talking about myself, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my spiritual seed, you know. And I also say those you are drawing to me today by your spirit. Because there are people I'm going to meet today that are not, they're not scripture pastor, and God will draw them to me just for today. They may not be in my circle tomorrow. Those who are drawing to me by your spirit, those who are drawing for me by your spirit. Then I say, I confess our sins of prayerlessness, of disobedience, of spiritual slothfulness, of intemperance, lying, sexual immorality in thought, word, and deed, covetousness, idolatry, stubbornness, rebellion, you know, and the sins of our people, talking about Nigeria, our fathers and our forefathers, of greed, of murder, and of wickedness. I receive, I say this by faith, with understanding. I receive forgiveness, one, cleansing and the purging of our consciences from these dead works and a guilty conscience to serve you, the living God, according to your word that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works and a guilty conscience to serve the living God? And your word that says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Then I go on to say, I forsake these sins by practicing the word with a continual determination and giving all diligence to stop sinning and so to receive mercy to triumph over the judgment for these sins. I do this only once in a day. I don't have to repeat it all and all. Then in the course of the day, as situations come up or anytime I want to pray, I say, Father, I confess our sins. That hour now includes all the people I mentioned earlier on, people that may be in my immediate environment and all of that, and I seek to clean with the blood. So I deliberately, by faith, I release the cleansing power of the blood. See, if you just say, Father, I confess my sins, and you don't say to clean with the blood, if you're not careful, it will maintain a sin consciousness. But when you clean with the blood, it removes that thing. So it gives me the confidence I have right standing with God. And I say, in Jesus' name, we have life. When I say, in Jesus' name, I have life, I know the life is going to flow because the blood I've just released has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. It is that life that is inside me now that I will now use to pray in tongues or bind the devil or whatever it is else I want to pray about. Now, in the course, you know, you do this periodically. You know, once every 6 hours. Now, in between, you know, you're going to come up with situations. Situations will come up. People will offend you. Bad things will happen. When those things happen, the blood you have already released, you release it with your words, all this that I've spoken about, is already there. It's already available. So when you now see 1 John 5:16, go there. 1 John 5:16. We're going to close in a minute. 1 John 5:16. If any man see, how do you see? It's in the mind. Of course, you can also see physically. But basically, this is a mind, is a thought operation. You know why? Because it's the eyes of your understanding. So the eye is talking, the seeing he's talking about there is not primarily with the two physical eyes. It's with the mind. You know how you can see? You're sitting at your table. You understand? And suddenly this thought about this terrible sister comes to your mind. Or this terrible brother. Or this person that did this. You know how it is. You know, you just think about them. This thought just comes to you about this person and what they did and what they said. And it begins to agitate you on the inside. That's when you apply this. You see him. It's true he did it. It's true he said it. Say, Lord, have mercy on them. Then you apply three things. The blood, then the life, and then the power. They're not the same. The blood opens the way. The life comes in. The power is by the power. It converts the life to power to help them. And their situation, have mercy on them to change them. Not everybody will change, but at least you would have done your part. This is it all. So every time a negative thought, we're talking about maintaining the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, so that your prayers will work. Every time a negative thought about people or somebody, it may not even just be an individual, it may be a group. Just say, Lord, have mercy on them. I apply the blood at the thought level. Lord, blood, life, power. The blood is applied. You know, if you look at your system here, your belly button is where your umbilical cord was cut when your mommy had gave birth to you. In the spirit, there is an umbilical cord. That's where the sin substance goes to congregate. Because once it is there, it blocks the flow of life from God. So you apply the blood right there. Then life comes into the heart, the belly. And then from there, it moves up into the chest. Once you have the abundance of the heart from the chest, then you now speak. Then it comes power. So you just say, Lord, mercy, life, blood, power. You know, have mercy on them. You know, and the thing about that thing is that no matter how, that's why he said, shall I forgive them 7 times? Then Jesus said, I say not unto you 7 times, but 70 times 7. You can't do that with your mouth. You can only do it with your thoughts. Give a little clap offering. You can't do it with your mouth. You can't do it with your mouth. Your mouth will get tired. But you can do it with your thoughts. As it is coming, you just reply it. As it is coming, you just reply it. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Even that blood word, life and power, is just the detail. If you just say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you know, this understanding is at the back of all of it. If we clean the whole thing out, then will come to pass that which is written. It says that, you know, in the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hence, that is why the Bible says God looks on the heart. How are you treating your brethren in your heart? What are you thinking about them? This is it all. This thing I'm teaching you is the key. Once we get it and we stand. So when I'm praying in tongues, and thoughts are coming. Mama, that sister, hello. Only more word, Meru. Nekoromo koroga, bokoro koro, konkoroni. Koshishemo.
But when Nikatolo Mangarada, and then thought comes about sister, mercy. No Kosholomera Mantovre,
mercy.
Nikro Mokotokara,
mercy.
Nikostufriningara,
mercy.
Niprakaramara,
mercy.
Then the tongues will work. Give the Lord a clap offering. All at the thought level.
I'm going to close with one scripture. Matthew chapter 18 verse 35.
That's the great parable of forgiveness. It was Jesus himself who taught it. He said one person owed, let's use it in Nigeria language today, 1 billion. Well, I like billion Nigeria. And then another guy owed 10 naira. The guy who owed 1 billion, he went and begged. His master forgave him. The other guy who owed 10 naira. The guy who was forgiven 1 billion. There was somebody else who was owing him 10 naira. So he went to that one. And the one asked him to forgive him. Just like the master asked him to forgive him. He said no. You will sleep in that jail today. And took him. He said, the other servants heard what happened and they felt very bad. So they went to go and tell the oga. This is, I'm saying the parable in Nigerian. Went to go and tell the overall boss. He called the man. He said, you wicked servant. He said, I forgave you because you begged me. He said, why then did you not forgive your fellow servant? You know what he said? He said, bind him hand and foot and cast him to the tormentors until he has paid all the debt. Then Jesus said this. Matthew 18:35. We're going to close on this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye forgive not from your hearts. Give the Lord a clap for a friend. That is the key. It's not that difficult. If you not from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The rate at which Christians sin against us, against one another, is so much. That if you do not understand this operation of releasing the blood, which is general, I confess our sins general, then applying it in specific situations, you won't be able to cope with this. It can only be done with the thoughts from the heart. It's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the soul, in rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. The solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand.
Igbagbo mi
duro lori eje aton dodo Jesu.
Oh,
my God.
by faith.
My purpose built on nothing than Jesus' blood.
Than Jesus' blood.
And its righteousness.
And righteousness.
I did not trust.
Did not trust the sweetest friend.
But wholly lean.
But wholly lean.
Wholly lean on Jesus' name.
On Jesus'
name. On Christ the solid rock,
Christ the solid rock I stand.
All of the ground,
all of the ground.
The next verse in English.
Sinking sand.
When darkness
fills his lovely veil,
I rest on his unchanging
grace. I rest on his
unchanging grace.
Unchanging grace. Sinking sand.
His oath,
his covenant, his love
supports me
in
the whelming flood.
The whelming flood.
When all around
my soul is wet.
He is my hope.
Is
my hope and stay.
My hope and stay.
On Christ the soul.
Sinking sand.
His
oath, his covenant, his blood.
His sinking sand.
Everybody, put your hand up. We are going to pray at two levels. We're going to pray for fresh. You know, as at the message I said, it's a fundamental message, but we bring fresh light for fresh understanding. Then, what mommy shared about freedom from whatever has been making you stink. The stink of guilt consciousness, the stink of generational sins, whatever, and I don't care for how long it's been, nothing can stand the blood. It will remove, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Life and power will come through and will free you permanently. And then from today, walk in righteous consciousness. Don't just say, I confess my sins. Say, I confess my sins to clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. Be conscious of what you are doing. And walk in love, in mercy and forgiveness. Constantly, constantly. 70 times, 7 times a day, if necessary. Yes, he did not tell us to do what we cannot do. So let's do the prayers in two bits. Let's first of all pray for a fresh revelation, fresh understanding. Everybody, with your hand up. Say, Father, I didn't hear you. Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. Everybody say it again. And so clean with the blood. One more time. Say, and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, giving me fresh light on the forgiving cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that this blood not only guarantees my forgiveness and freedom from the penalty of hell, it also cleans out my conscience from guilt, from condemnation, so that I can approach you with freedom, with confidence. And I can say with Jesus, I know you will hear me always. Not because of me, but because of the blood. Father, I thank you. Help me to consistently walk in this consciousness, that every time I pray and I say I confess our sins and I cling with the blood, I can approach you with confidence, with a clear conscience, knowing that truly I have been cleansed according to your word from all unrighteousness. I also thank you for what you have taught me today on forgiving of others, that I know that if I don't forgive, I will not be forgiven. If I retain, mine will also be retained. Help me, Lord. No matter what they do, no matter who they are, Lord God, to constantly have an attitude of mercy, of love, of forgiveness, applying the blood of Jesus to them by my thoughts, applying your life, your power, and your mercy upon them. Now, whenever people offend me, the first thing that will come to my mind is, Lord, have mercy on them. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me to perfect this walk of love, mercy, and forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Nekato frenega. Nikatu rika torakataka. Nekataya. Tufriningito fredesk. Lopre la mashala. Lambrika toloma tufri. Zifrika tolomangar. Toloma tushka fridi. Lambrika tolom. Toloma tufrisha. Toloma tufri deko. Lambrika matoloma tufri. Lambrika tufrisha. Lambrika tolom. Lambrika matoloma stangi. Zifrika tolo. Jelaprika tufrinis. Tufrinis. No fridelis. No fridis. Ni fridis. No skufres. No fridelis. No fridelis. No fridolos. Talas. Ni fras. Tolos. Ni fridelis. No fridelis. Ni fridis. No fridolos. Tolo fridelis. In Jesus' name. Now, put one hand on your body. Raise your hand to God. I don't care what you've been stinking of. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to give you just a few seconds. I want you to identify anything that's been crippling you. Spiritual, financial, psychological. Emotional. It's been there. 4 days, 40 days, 40 years. 40 weeks, 40 months. It's just a shadow. Yes, that 4 is a shadow. It can be 4, 40. I don't care. Resurrection and life has come to set you free. I want everybody to pray. We're going to pray together in the spirit in a minute, and then God will join all our prayers in the spirit together and minister to everyone by that greater power that's going to be released. But as an individual, now everybody keen to God, say, God, I receive my forgiveness, I receive healing, I receive a loosening from these grave clothes. Say it under your breath, but say it to God. Vocalize it, but say it, you know, let the thing come out of your mouth. In your heart, say, God, I thank you for setting me free. I thank you for bringing this word to me. And I'm going to walk in the light of it. Never again will I go back into bondage. Because I'm going to keep setting other people free. And as I keep setting other people, I am going to stay free. I will not retain anybody's sins, so no man, my own sins will also be retained. Talk to God. We're going to pray in a minute together. I want everybody to do individual first. Then we're going to now join it together in a corporate river of life.
Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Whether it's small or it's big, there is nobody that does not have an issue. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now say, Father, I confess our sins. Oh, say it in faith. I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for this word of deliverance that has come to raise me from the dead and loose me from burial clothes that have bound me all of this time. I receive my liberty. I receive my freedom. In the name of Jesus, I say with my mouth, I come forth. I am loosed and I am let go. In Jesus' name. Nekatofrenenges. Zephrinilik. Zephrikatolomashaya. Neramakatufrinis. Likatolomashangi. Tofridelemekotos. Dokotolomotunga. Tolomotolomatingi. Tangikotolo. Mambrakatufres. Tolomangir. Tolomashanga. Talabrikatufre. Sofrega. Lambrakamatolomatufre. Lambrakamatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolom
Tara, Tafridingi, Zefri, Lepreka Tulum Shangitoa, Nambre de la Mara, Difridilimuros, Jeleprikatoros, Linga Karas, Nifridis, Jeleprikas, Nironomos, Nikataras, Tofridis, Ningatulas, Zofridi, Ramas, Nofridelemi Tufris. In Jesus' name.
Amen. One last prayer. We're just going to make it very short. Put your hand on your body for your healing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm already healed. Say, I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed staying healed. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's a very important paradigm shift. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed staying healed. I'm healed. And I'm just maintaining my health. Now everybody put your hand on your body. We're just going to make a very quick confession. Just say, Father, I confess our sins. So clean with the blood. So clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you. I am healed. Because Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses, I am legally free from every sickness and every disease. No sickness has a right, and I will not permit them to stay in my body. Now I release resurrection, healing, life and power into my physical body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Into my heart, into my liver, into my kidneys, into all my internal organs, all blood vessels, and into every cell, and the DNA of every cell. And I say, operate error free every sickness, every distortion in my physical body. Be reversed. Be reversed. All cells, all components, all organs in my body function optimally. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatofrenenga. Jeprika tolomanga. Luprike tofreni kutukokaya katofrenenges. Lokaya. Nikitu Fridi Kitolo Mangaras Tofrede Loprika Tolo Lombraga Tushki Fridisk Zefrika Tolo Mangaras Lupro Tolo Mashangi Nukudoro Matangi Tolo Motala Tolomba Tufreshe Lumbrika Tolo Dofrede Lombraka Lombro Nufrinika to Nakadala Matu Tushke Fride Kotolo Mangara Talamatu Nikitolo Mara Nikitolo Mungoro Jela Prikito Fredenes Nifridolo Mangara Nikituris Nufredeles
Jelebaras, no freningas, zofredegaras, nekatuske frenes, zekaragas, ne fridias, no fredeles, no fridenga autofres. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody, mommy, come.
We're not going to share the grace. Brethren, you will never be the same.
Do you hear me?
You will never. We are approaching the glory. That's why God is bringing all these things out. You will never be the same.
Amen.
You will sleep different tonight.
Amen.
Free from every worry and thought and guilt. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus. I'm so grateful to Jesus. He's a great guy. Jesus is not religious, though. He's a great guy. Nice guy. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make His face to shine upon
Amen.
You. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace. I said the Lord God gives you
Amen.
Peace. I said God makes you head and not tail.
Amen.
Head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies.
Amen.
The gates of your enemies.
Amen.
The gates of your enemies.
Amen.
Even the gate of death.
Amen.
Even the gate of death.
Amen.
So you will live and you will not die.
Amen.
Oh, I say you will live, you will not die.
Amen.
I say you will live and you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
With long life will God satisfy you. With long life will God satisfy you. And show you His salvation. Even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch,
Amen.
Abraham,
Amen.
Joseph,
Amen.
Moses,
Amen.
Joshua,
Amen.
Ruth,
Amen.
David,
Amen.
Elisha,
Amen.
Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn up and say, you apply, you release, and you apply the blood of Jesus to walk constantly in love, mercy, and forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.